This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Hillsboro. By CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday, the final Saturday in January. And Terry, I don't know if you heard, but there's a big ball game in Nokomis tonight.
There's a big ball game in Nokomis tonight, and it's been one that folks from this area have been wanting to see for years and years and years, and it's finally going to take place between two guys who were neighbors growing up in high school, played together, and, you know, what are the odds, Tim? Who'd have thunk that two guys from Fillmore would win over 800 games in their career and now have a chance to square off in a matchup tonight, and we're going to have it. So.
The history of Illinois basketball can be put up against any state in the union and come out number one. And to think that there's seven coaches in the history of the state that have won 800 games, two of them are from Fillmore.
From Fillmore. So.
And this is why sports is like the best, I guess, reality show going, because you can't make it up. Mm. Like, if you write a script like, okay, two guys from Fillmore are going to play together in high school, both go on to coach, both win 800 games, get out of here.
Yeah.
It's not believable. Can't happen.
Well, and you know, I think one of the neat aspects of the game tonight is the fact that Coach Lauren Wallace is going to be there. They're their former coach, and of course, Lauren's won, over 600 games?
682.
Almost 700 games. So right there, you've got basketball royalty no matter where you turn, and it's great. It's wonderful.
And Steve Kimbrough is joining us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Well, you've coached a lot of games. You've won a lot of games, and, you know, you approach every game as the same. But tonight has to be different, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is like a homecoming atmosphere. With who, you know, is going to be in the house. A lot of people are coming, get a chance to visit with Lauren again, not only the Nokomis people, but the Lincoln people, where Lauren spent 14 years also.
It seems to me, Steve, that this ball game is, it focuses a lot on numbers. It goes beyond the game on the court. It's about the numbers game between you and Neil and Coach Wallace.
Well, it's a thing where, you know, we've just been doing it a long time, maybe more than anything else. You know, we've had some success, and I'm sure Neil would say the same thing. That's owed primarily to how hard the kids go out there and work for us. And, you know, a lot of credit's got to go to them with what they've done.
And, of course, a lot of credit has to go all the way back to Lauren Wallace, and even before that, because this is where Nokomis-style basketball, Lincoln-style basketball came from.
Yeah, you know, Lauren came over here in 71, and started the program, and, you know, and he'd played for, or coached with Harlan Scheibel over at Litchfield. You know, there's a whole connection in there, and of course, my assistant coach Brian played for Harlan at Hillsboro, so, you know, there's a lot of little connections going through all this, so like I say, this is more of a homecoming atmosphere, I think, than a basketball game almost.
But isn't that what makes high school sports so great, or the connections like you've just mentioned?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brian and I have talked about this a lot, and that's one of the things that, you know, us, our philosophies and our outlook on the game work so well together, and I think that's part of why our program is so successful also, that, you know, we think along. I mean, we found ourselves, we'll finish the same sentences sometimes. We're sitting there talking to each other. We'll call out the same play at the same time. You know, and that just comes from working together. And you know, like I say, our thought process is pretty much the same, and how we look at the game and our intensity and competitiveness are the same also.
Steve, as you look back at your high school career, obviously you were a junior, Neil was a senior, but that was a magical year that year.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part.
Your junior year, Neil's senior year, that basketball season, that was a magical year for you guys.
Oh yeah, that, you know, it was Lauren coming in and instituting a lot of different things like a Saturday practice, you know, and then later on, you know, he started doing the summer work, which was really kind of unheard of at that time. So he had a lot of strange ideas, which today are commonplace. And, you know, and as you can tell by what we do, it made a big impression on us, but that, you know, winning can do that. You know, you see the success that it brings and you go out there and try to simulate that. And, you know, of course, things have changed. The 3-point line changed a lot of things and you have to adjust and do that. But the basics are basically the same. The discipline, you know, your philosophy of what you're trying to do with your team, those are the same thing. And, you know, you try to get your kids to believe in that and work towards those goals.
And Steve, you mentioned earlier, and I've heard you say it before, well, we've just been around a long time. And I think I told you a few weeks ago, yeah, but if you hadn't won this many games, they wouldn't let you stick around this long.
Well, that's true, too. They have sent me down the road.
As you've prepared for this game, Steve, obviously Lincoln's ranked 6th in 3A, so you're playing yet another powerhouse program. What have you told your kids about what to expect, basically playing yourselves in terms of the style?
We've talked about it obviously throughout the year. We've talked about it in our practice that, you know, you got to prepare for the best team on your schedule. And that point after the Thanksgiving tournament is going to be Lincoln. And, you know, we try to use that as a focal point, but we've been focused. You know, we just came out of 2 tournaments. We had a conference game last night and it was a pretty tough road game down at Metro East. So, you know, yes, we've talked about it. We haven't just focused on it and nothing else, but we understand what they do, and it, like you say, it's going to be attacking ourselves. They still play a very good defense. You know, they got a good inside game. The perimeter shooting can be as good as Taylorville's. You know, we got to find a way to take something away from them. Exactly how we're going to do that, and it's going to be an adjustment of games. You know, in the game itself, you know, what do we see is happening and can we adjust to it?
Well,
we're going to have our work cut out tonight.
You mentioned Taylorville shooting. You've been doing this a long time. Have you ever seen a team shoot like that in the first half? I thought you guys played well, but when a team makes 11 to 12 threes in the first half, you can't do anything about it.
We said going into the game that this is what we wanted, this one to do. I told the kids that they may set a state record threes tonight. You know, I thought we worked harder to get out there than we had in some previous games. I thought we tried, you know, we hopefully you always think we could have tried to put a little more pressure on, but, you know, I think at one time, I think they hit 7 in a row. You know, I mean, they were just, you know, confidence, and that's what happens in the game. And they've been doing that to more people than just us, but, they kind of rolled on us.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Steve, as you think about kind of your career as a whole, even going back to high school, there's no way that when you were in high school, you could have thought, you know, 40 years later, I'm going to have 800 wins. Neil Alexander's going to have 800 wins, and then we're going to play. There's no way that ever crossed your mind.
No, you know, you don't start out. I mean, 38 years, you think, yeah, I'm going to be doing this in 38 years. you never know how things are going to go. Like you say, you have a couple of bad seasons, and, you know, you're off someplace else, or you start having kids, you decide, well, you know, it's time to step away and do more family time things. So it's a commitment that you're seeing less and less because of some of those situations, and you know, I guess we're just a couple of dinosaurs.
Hey,
some really good dinosaurs, though.
Yeah, the dinosaurs that survived.
That's exactly right.
Yes, and have evolved through the years, and you know, the kids have changed, the attitudes have changed, but still, there's a high expectation for Nokomis basketball, for Lincoln basketball, that a lot of times you just don't see at the high school level.
Yeah, we talk about this, you know, we tell our kids, we have a very intelligent fan base, and if you ain't out there working and doing your job, they'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been times where the varsity's struggling, and we'll put the JV, I know a couple years ago, we put the JV in, and they played 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and did a better job, and the crowd applauded, stood up and applauded them when they come off the floor. And, you know, that's part of the expectation that we tell kids, you know, you have a reputation to uphold, you've got to carry that torch now and go out there and do that. You know, you've got to help that to motivate you and find the energy and do your job the way it's supposed to be done.
See, you've got your 20th win last night, the 27th 20-win season for you. That is remarkable.
Again, it's, you know, the work of the hard, the hard work of the kids, the coaching staff, the preparation of the kids up through the system. It's not just something that I did, but it's a collaborative effort, and because of that, our success is there.
Final question, Steve. Will Steve Kimbrough get teary-eyed tonight in that pregame ceremony?
I don't think so. Like I said, I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, seeing a bunch of people I haven't seen in a while, and we'll see. I ain't going to rule anything out.
Yeah. Hey, no confetti or water tonight, I would imagine.
No, I don't think so.
Steve Kimbrough, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time. Enjoy tonight,
yes.
And we'll see you tonight, sir.
All right, thank you.
Steve Kimbrough, head coach of Nokomis, and going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. One of the guys I truly respect and have got to know very well over the years, and count him as a good friend, and you know, it's just to be able to talk basketball with Steve Kimbrough is just a wonderful thing. You can sit down and talk basketball with him for an hour, and you think it's been 5 minutes. I mean, it just flies by. So you really have to admire guys like that.
Oh, he's one of those guys. He's forgotten more basketball than the rest of us will ever know.
Yeah,
I mean, the knowledge.
Yeah.
That he has.
And he referred to himself and Neil's dinosaurs. And, you know, we oftentimes hear about how, you know, attitudes have changed with kids and how you can handle them. But you know, Steve and Neil and these guys do run programs that are more what we've seen in the past with the expectations and the hard practices, because the game should be easy.
Dinosaurs haven't been around for like 65 million years, and people are still talking about them.
Yeah,
so
Not a bad thing. They're more popular now than they have ever been.
Right,
so
right.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Neil Alexander sits fourth on the all-time win list in Illinois with 821. Steve Kimbrough is now seventh with 807, and that's the third most at one school all time.
Yeah, wow. And it's hard to believe, you know, when he started out, the first couple of 3 years were a little rough as far as records are concerned, but man, has that program just been on target.
Well, we've mentioned before, the only three losing seasons he's had came in his first 4 years.
Yeah, So
at a small public school, that is, forget the 21 seasons, forget the regional titles, the sectional titles, the trips to state. The most impressive thing, three losing seasons, all in the first 4 years, nothing since.
Well, and you know, you go down to the lower levels. With the Braves and even the grade school kids, you know, this is what they instill in the kids, boys and girls, from a very, very young age. They have very high expectations, and you know, they don't do a whole lot of different things. They do well. And that's why they've been successful. It's not necessarily, you know, learning six or seven different defensive alignments. It's sticking with what works.
The KISS principle.
And a lot of times people overthink things. They overthink the plumbing and stop up the drain.
You don't want stopped up drain. That's not good for anybody. You do not want that. So I haven't looked this up, but someone will let me know if I'm wrong. But this has to be the first time two coaches with 800 wins have ever matched up against each other in the state at the time of having 800.
Tim, this might be the first time in the history of the country that two coaches with 800 wins that are still active face each other.
Staggering.
That's just unheard of. What are the odds?
Probably got a better chance of winning the lottery or getting struck by
lightning. Yeah.
And they're both from Fillmore.
Yeah.
The doors will open at 3:30 this afternoon. That tells you all you need to know. They're opening the doors at 3:30. JV game at 5. Varsity game will tip around 6:30. We'll be live on the air as soon as the JV game is done. They're going to have a pregame ceremony. That's going to be a lot of fun. I saw a picture on Twitter earlier. They've got high school photos of Coach Kimbrough and Coach Alexander. They're going to present those to them, have, an IBCA presentation as well. So we'll carry all that for you live on FM 106. And if you're going, get there early.
Yeah, get there early. And
enjoy yourself, and
you know, they'll do it again next year, but they'll do it in Lincoln next year.
And that'll be cool. It'll have a little different flavor.
Yeah. You know, this is the first meeting between these two teams and these two buds going against each other. I don't know about you, Tim, but growing up as a kid, you know, probably one of the neatest challenges is to beat your best friend.
Right.
In any game of horse or one-on-one or whatever. So, I kind of wonder if that comes into play tonight with Bro and with Neil. So, we'll see.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to it tonight. 6:30 varsity tip right here.
Been waiting for this game to happen for years.
Long time coming.
Long time coming.
Like Coach Kimber said, homecoming.
Yeah.
Homecoming.
Yeah.
That's usually a football thing, but this is definitely a homecoming game tonight. Lincoln at Nokomis. We need to get to a break. We are going to talk with Neil Alexander coming up later in the hour here on Sports Saturday. Very much looking forward to that. On the other side of the break, we're going to switch gears, talk about girls basketball. The Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers are in prime position to win the South Central Conference. We'll talk about that and hopefully catch up with head coach Brett Teakin when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, coming up in a little more than 10 minutes, we'll catch up with Lincoln head coach Neil Alexander, and can only imagine what he's going through today.
Well,
excitement and all sorts of different
things. You would think it would be a happy occasion, but, you know, he's going to approach it much like Steve Kimbrough is going to approach it. It's another part of the job, you know. Let's just get ready and do our job.
Got to win the game.
You know, it's about getting out there and executing and doing what you do and hope that you're successful with it. So, you know, Lincoln being a 3A school,
ranked
though.
Sixth in 3A, by the way.
Sixth in 3A. You know, that's a pretty tall task for Nokomis. So.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any difference.
No, it's about much more than the game.
Yeah.
Tonight. It's about the event, mm-hmm. the people involved, the history of the two. It's just going to be really fun tonight. 6:30 pregame on FM 106 online at WSMIRadio.com. A week from Monday, girls regionals will begin, and Hillsboro got the 2 seed in subsectional A of the Hillsboro sectional. They will be at the Southwestern Regional, where they have a bye into the semifinals. That game will be Tuesday, February 5th. Head coach Brett Teakin joins us on the phone right now. And Teak, regionals coming up. Yeah, we know about that. But you got business to take care of coming up on Thursday when you have a chance to run the table in the South Central Conference and claim the conference title.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting for us to try to have a chance to do that, because like we talked with the coaches and stuff, the South Central Conference is a gauntlet this year. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And you know, I mentioned to Terry earlier, Teague, that this could be like a 1993 situation where Staunton won the state title but didn't win the Macoupin County title. Verdon beat them. Greenville's ranked second in the state, and they might not even win their own conference.
Yeah. That's possible. Yeah, they're really good, and we got them, and let's hope that. Well, I don't hope that happens, because we could possibly meet them along the way somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
But I know when I remember talking to Sammy Matouche, I think on the day of Terry's shootout, about, you know, loss in the first game of the regional last year, unfinished business there. But Sammy was very quick to say, our first goal is win the South Central Conference.
Yeah, and now we've got a share of it, and we talked about we hadn't, 09, 010 was the last year we had won the conference, so it had been a little while, and that was a goal of ours this year, was to win conference and then, regional and go from there. So we've got at least part of it done, but, we want to be greedy.
And the thing of it is, to be greedy, it's okay to be greedy, but you have to take it one step at a time. You can't be thinking in terms of, you know, 3 and 4 games at a time. It's just one at a time.
No, especially in our conference this year. We didn't really start thinking about an undefeated conference until just really recently, because Pena is a really good team, and we had to go to their place, and we just one game at a time, and let's win this is the most important game, and then we'll worry about the next one after that. And so far it's worked for us.
And Pena gave you guys a real challenge. That was a nip-and-tuck ball game.
Yeah, it was tight the whole way. I think the largest lead, we had a 6-point lead once, and they had a 5-point lead once. And other than that, it was just a tight, hard-fought game all the way. And it was like Jason and I talked afterwards. It was a fun game.
You know, at Payne is always tough. At Southwestern is always tough. And that's where you got to go Thursday to try to secure the conference championship.
Yeah. That was two tough games right at the end of the season, which is good as you head into regionals to be on the road in tough environments and stuff. And we was able to accomplish it at one place. Now we'll have to go to Pisaw and try to do the same.
It's all about just doing, executing what you do best.
Yeah, and that's what we told the girls. We said there's going to be a good crowd there. It's their senior night. They're going to be vocal and stuff. Just focus on the game. Focus on what you got to do there, and put the crowd out of your mind. And for the most part, I thought we did a pretty good job of that.
And it is a conference school, so you've been there before. But with you playing the regional there, then the following week, it'll be good to get accustomed to the floor.
Yeah, it'll be. Hopefully, we go there and shoot well, and give them some confidence as we head there again for regional. So that would be nice.
When we talked last week, you were getting ready to play the rare Sunday game. And, heck, if you're going to play on Sunday, you might as well play three overtimes.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. That was an interesting one. First game of the day, and we throw it into three overtimes, and just threw their whole schedule off.
Yeah, I was going to say the officials are probably going, gee, thanks, Deke. You know, three OTs.
The Breeze then had to go ahead. They had to play an overtime game to win the consolation.
Yeah.
Deke, what did you learn about your team coming out of that Highland tournament?
We kind of, at halftime of the Breeze game, we kind of had a, I kind of went off for a little bit and talked about how you got to really go out every possession defensively. And if we were going to get back in that game, it was going to have to come from the defensive end. We weren't just going to go out and shoot our way back into the game. And we came out and played probably one of the hardest and guttiest defensive halves that I think we have all year, and outscored them by 15 and got it into the overtime. So that was something that I think the girls learned something from, how hard you got to work, and you can do it if you work through it and just keep working.
So it sounds like small picture, obviously you lost, but big picture, that day might have been a win for you.
Yeah, because I thought we came out, especially the first half against Payne, and played really well. Well, really the first three quarters we played well. And then the fourth quarter, both teams just really started all of a sudden shooting a lot better, and both teams put 20 points on the board. But the first three quarters I thought was really played well defensively, and then it just kind of opened up in the fourth quarter and was a little faster paced too.
You going to be in Nokomis tonight?
Planning on it, if I can get there in time. We got a freshman tournament going on this morning, and I'm hoping we can get done and get over there in time.
We've talked about this before with you, but obviously you played for Coach Kimbrough back in the day, and we talked to him just a few minutes ago, and you could tell that he's very excited about tonight. And just to think that two kids from Fillmore both wind up with 800 wins, it's staggering.
Yeah, that's amazing how they're high school teammates and they both go into coaching and to have that kind of success, both of them, and really running very similar styles and at two very different levels. I mean, you got one 3A and one 1A, and it just kind of shows that it can win at any level.
Yeah, right. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Brett Tika, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and good luck Thursday night in Piasaw.
Thank you.
All right. And wouldn't that be something if they run the table, win the conference unbeaten?
Yeah.
We talked about it before. He mentioned it. We talked about it. This is as good as the South Central Conference has been. They could be 5-20-win teams there.
The conference this year is as tough as it's been for many years. And to think that Hillsborough could run the table is, you know, again, I would not have put money on it at the beginning of the season because we knew how good Greenville was. You always have to rip things out of Southwestern's hands because they're never going to make it easy. Carlinville is good. Staunton's big and good. Just from top to bottom, the South Central is one of those conferences where when you go to Vandalia, you go to Pena, you know, these are not easy places to win. To run the table, that would be quite an accomplishment for the Toppers.
Greenville's only loss this year to Hillsborough. Comets got the top seed in subsectional A of the Hillsborough sectional. Hillsborough is second. Carlinville is third. Alton Marquette got the 4. Staunton got the 5. So you talk about top 5 teams in that subsectional.
Well, and Tim, we've talked about how the subsectionals, they want to make sure and divide things up so that you get the better teams to the sectional tournament and do away with the neighborhood regionals. Well, basically, we still have neighborhood regionals, at least in these subsectionals for the most part. And you're still going to end up with some very, very, very good basketball teams not making it to the sectional tournament.
You're going to wind up with some good basketball teams not making it to the regional final.
Oh, yeah. Losing in a semifinal, and how many 20-win teams could there be in these regional tournaments? So I tell you, it's been a pleasure to have that good of basketball around here this year. It's been a lot of fun. So.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Lincoln head coach Neil Alexander as he gets set to return home tonight as his Rail Splitters will take on Nokomis. Sports Saturday back in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. We're going to get Neil Alexander on the phone here in just a moment on Sports Saturday. And 6:30, varsity tip tonight, pregame ceremony. Beforehand, we'll honor Coach Kimbrough. Coach Alexander will carry that live on FM 106. The door is opening at 3:30 this afternoon.
One aspect of this, and I think maybe we mentioned it last week, but Coach Wallace is coming back and going to be on hand for both of his former players, and that's quite an honor, and a man that really kind of set things in motion for Nokomis back in the early 70s, and it's been part of Nokomis tradition and now Lincoln tradition for many, many years. So.
Coach Wallace was at Nokomis from 1971 to 1975, four seasons, 87 wins there. The 72-73 season is the year Kimbrough and Alexander were on this, Kimbrough and Alexander were on the same team. They won a regional title that season, 22-5 is what they finished. And then Lauren Wallace went on to Lincoln from 75 to 87, coached there for 12 years, compiled 270 wins, 8 regional titles, 2 sectional titles, finished 4th in 1980, and he had 7 20-win seasons there. He then went on to Bloomington for 3 years from 87 to 90, won 61 games there, picked up a regional title, went 26-2 in 1997. And then, let's go to Quincy for a little while. We'll win 263 more games there as he retired in the 2002-2003 season. 9 regional titles, 3 sectional titles, finished 3rd in 1997. So when you can take that type of success and move it to 4 different programs, that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, it's like Teak said, the success proves itself no matter what level you play. You have a winning system, you stick with it, and you don't mess with it. You might tweak it a little bit, but you don't mess with the basic principle of it. So
if it ain't broke,
don't fix it. Yeah.
Exactly right.
And that's tough because there are so many different ideas anymore, since the introduction of the 3-point line years ago. The defenses are different, the offenses are different, and sometimes we forget that the fundamentals are what it's all about. And that's something that is stressed mightily at successful programs.
Well, that's the key to any successful team is you can have all the talent, but the fundamentals have to be there.
If you can't do the simple, the basics, they're not simple. We shouldn't say simple. I shouldn't say simple. But if you can't do the basics, then you're always in trouble. So,
Neil Alexander, 821 wins, 43rd year, 664 of those wins at Lincoln in 29 seasons. He started there in 1990. He has just one losing season at Lincoln. Think about Steve Kimbrough, 3 losing seasons in his 38 years of coaching, just one losing season at Lincoln for Neil Alexander in his 29 years at the helm there. Remarkable.
Yeah. I wonder how those one-on-one games went between Alexander and Kimbrough when they were younger. I bet they were brutal.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Bloodletting,
Both 1,000-point scorers.
Yeah, absolutely. Thing I remember about Steve Kimbrough, man, he was a horse underneath the boards.
You can believe that.
Yeah.
You can believe that.
He was not afraid to get in there and mix it up. And just talking to him and seeing his teams play, that's pretty easy to believe. So
not a stretch.
Not a stretch.
Not a stretch.
Not a stretch at all.
And I remember when we heard about this game earlier this year, or last calendar
year. Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's something I guess they'd been working on for a while, and finally were able to get things lined up. And I think probably the rule change for the HSA allowed this to finally happen. And thank goodness it has. I mean, this it's so neat. And the first game taking place at Nokomis makes it even better. And it's going to be quite the scene there tonight. And I don't know. It might want, you know, I asked Steve Kimbrough if he thought he'd get teary-eyed. He said probably not. It might be more emotional for Neil Alexander coming back home.
Could.
In some ways, you know.
Mm-hmm. A lot of tentacles reaching out in that Nokomis program, you know, with former players who are now coaches, former players who not only coach maybe at the high school level, but coach at the lower levels. And you know, they basically spread the Nokomis gospel as far as the style of play that they want. And I'm sure the same thing is true in Lincoln with Neil. You know, the lower level programs are obviously going to run what he wants them to run, and they're successful once they get to high school. So a lot of tentacles, a lot of moving parts, a lot of people involved in making sure that these programs continue to be successful. And you know, communities struggle sometimes, but when you have a high school program such as the basketball team at Nokomis, it's certainly a point of pride.
Big time
pride. Yeah. And it really is. And I'm just thinking, we were talking off the air about the gym being packed, and I was just thankful that they've got the new gym, because that old gym, I tell you what, you know, as great as that old gym was, and it was a terrific place to do a ball game, you know, and when it was packed, it was noisy. But to have that new gym packed tonight, that place will just be absolutely crazy.
Awesome.
And there'll be people standing in line for 2 hours in this cold weather waiting to get in. So,
doors open at 3:30.
3:30. Get there early.
Yes, indeed. Still trying to make contact with Neil Alexander here on Sports Saturday on this chilly Saturday morning. Maybe David can give him a call again. Voicemail's only taken so far, David.
You want me to call him a third time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
By the way, the Fighting Illini playing in Maryland, 10 o'clock this morning. Our broadcast starts on the Aux 105.3.
You know, that's a neat day. Apparently, it's the fourth annual Big Ten Super Saturday.
Yeah.
There's going to be a college hockey game after.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Penn State and Michigan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
Okay.
There you go. See what the Illini can do.
Oh, yeah.
They've lost 15 straight games against top 25
opponents. Dave struggled. That's an understatement. What and where do you go from here? I mean, do they have the talent that they need? Seemingly at times they look great, but it's those 8 to 12 minute periods, sections of time where they just seem to lose their way that makes you scratch your head and go, you know, when you don't even get the ball to the hole, you know, so you can get to the free throw line. I just don't get it.
How did they beat Minnesota by 30?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I didn't think
Minnesota was that bad of a team.
They weren't going in. Then they almost beat Michigan the next time out.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why Illinois is so frustrating, though, because they're not Rutgers. They're not talentless or just awful. They just can't close ball games.
Yeah, yeah.
And a big part of that, the reason you just mentioned, just long stretches of the inability to score.
And that's been a kind of a trademark of an Illini team for the last several years. I don't care who's been coaching it. They'll go for 8 to 12 minutes at a time and not score a point, or maybe just score a point and, you know, throw the ball. You still see unforced turnovers, which drive you crazy. And going, you know, you're at the college level. You're playing in a Big Ten conference, for goodness sakes. You shouldn't just throw the ball out of bounds when nobody's standing there.
You wouldn't think.
But it still happens, and I just don't get it. So anyway.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages on WSMI.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. The Litchfield Wrestling Invite continues today as they are underway wrestling on day two. After the first day, Lena Winslow was in first place. Auburn was in second. Vandalia was in fifth. Hillsboro sixth. And Litchfield seventh as wrestling regionals.
Next They're week. Just around the corner. Yeah. Yeah. Junior high basketball postseason underway. We're a month away from Cardinal spring training broadcasts every weekend on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. That's 4 weeks from today. So things are happening.
Wheels are in motion.
Wheels are in motion. March Madness just around the corner. Original March Madness here in Illinois.
So there's going to be some madness tonight in Belleville as Belleville West, the defending 4A champs and the current number one team in 4A, will host Springfield Southeast, last year's 3A runner-up and currently ranked third in 3A. Talk about a great matchup.
There you go. There you go. They'll giddy up and go in that game, won't they?
That'll be a lot of fun there.
Yeah, yeah. So is that part of a tournament or a shootout, or is that just a regular season matchup?
I think it's just a regular season matchup.
Wow.
I think.
To get that on the schedule, that took probably a little work. That's great.
That'll be just fine, won't it?
Yeah, that's terrific. That's terrific. Yeah. So this is the time of year when, of course, as Coach Teakin mentioned earlier, heading into the postseason, if you play some tough games, it's probably better for you heading into the postseason. It tends to help teams refocus, I think, if you play a better competition towards the end of the season. And of course, the girls are just a little over a week away from postseason play, and the boys, 1A and 2A schools, are about 3 weeks away. So we're getting down to crunch time for the high school basketball season, which is the longest sports season of any season in the Illinois High School Association, but it seems to fly by every year.
Oh, it goes fast.
It does.
It really does.
You know, once you get to the week of the McCoupin Tournament, the Litchfield Invitational, just like, where did it go? It just flies by. And, boy, what a great show Taylorville put on at the Litchfield Invitational.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
Because we don't keep track of misses when we're doing ball games, but it got to be halftime, and I knew they had 11 threes, and I started doing some calculations in my head and thought, they haven't missed more than three.
Yeah.
And then I found out they missed one.
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 Yeah.
11 of 12 from three in the first half.
So good tournament there. Good tournament at the McCoupin County Tournament. And and of course, Hillsboro had a wild and woolly finish at the Highland Girls Tournament with that triple overtime game. So.
And the Hillsboro boys last night were denied their 1,500th program win at the buzzer.
Ah.
Blake Morrison beat them for Vandalia at the Horn. He scored 37 last night as Vandalia won at 59-57.
You know, we've talked a little bit about the seedings for the girls in the regional tournaments. I think the seedings for the boys are going to be interesting because I think you've got a lot of teams that are about, even as far as how you could seed them. And it would be interesting to see how the coaches are going to seed these teams in their various subsectionals for the boys' regionals. And that will happen in a couple of weeks, so we'll find out how that shakes out.
Yeah, and just to be brutally honest, like in our area of the teams we cover, there's really no elite teams like we have on the girls' side. You get up Pleasant Plains.
Yeah.
It's very strong. You get over West, you got Triopia,
sure.
West Central, those teams are very strong. But most likely a lot of our area teams in the South Central Conference are going to be lumped in kind of the middle,
sure.
The middle to lower part of those subsectional seedings.
So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out and at the various regional sites. And, will somebody get hot at the right time? And get the right draw. We talk every year about, it's all about the draw.
And it is.
It really is. It's about who you play and on the night you play them and what have you done for me lately.
Well, look at the girls regional with that point in mind. The Southwestern regional. Carlinville has had a great year.
Yeah.
Beat Southwestern in the regular year. But now they got to play Southwestern on the Pius Allbirds home floor in a regional semifinal.
Yeah. Not the easiest thing to do.
Not the easiest draw.
No, no. And, if you're Steve Woolley and the veteran coach Steve Woolley is, you're going to use this to your advantage because basically you're saying, okay, here's our opportunity, ladies, right here. We're going to be able to maybe, do what is not expected of us and pull off the victory and, playing on your home floor certainly helps, so.
And, of course, Southwestern is going to have a chance to play potentially Hillsborough two times in a week.
Yeah.
Potentially. If they were to get to the regional final and Hillsborough got there, then obviously that would be their second meeting because they'll play on Thursday in Southwestern. And that will be an interesting test for the Toppers. Always tough to go over to Southwestern and try to get a win. But then you factor in they're trying to cap off an undefeated conference season, claim that conference championship. And that would be one of the great accomplishments for Hillsborough if they can run through this league this year undefeated.
Yeah, that was certainly early on in the season. We were taking a look at things, and I think I made the comment once that nobody in the South Central on the girls' side of things will have any more than 8 wins. Because I thought, you know, somebody's going to lose a couple times. Most teams are going to lose at least a couple of games. And to have the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers run the table thus far, pretty amazing. I mean, because you got to be that conference this year is just tough as nails.
Well, there's got to be 5 20-win teams. Greenville and Hillsborough, obviously, Carthenville, and then Staunton and Southwestern right on the doorstep of 20 wins too. So one league with 20 or 5 20-win teams.
Yeah,
all in the same subsectional.
Yeah. Well, and for years we've talked of, you know, people have talked about, you got to be able to separate these teams out so that you don't have all these good teams in one regional tournament and one sectional. But that's how it's going to work out this year, simply because the South Central is pretty good from top to bottom.
Well, yeah, when you got that many good teams in such a small geographical area,
you have no choice.
There's knowledge. Even in the old system, they were all going to be in two regionals.
Basically two regionals. And, you know, you go back before that when it was just a two-class system. You had basically two regionals and 8 teams in both regionals. And it was, you know, it was a real slugfest back then. So, and it's a little bit different now with the 4-class system, but still should be a heck of a matchup at Staunton and at Southwestern. Waverly's got a regional. They've got Pleasant Plains, which is the number one seed in that subsectional A. Petersburg Porta was the number 2 seed. They'll be the number 1 seed at Williamsville. And, you know, Williamsville, a traditional powerhouse, they got a 6th seed. And that's, it's highly unusual to see them seeded that low. I'm going, really? Williamsville, a number 6 seed? Are you kidding me? But that's how it shakes out this year. Auburn, a team that we see from time to time, got a number 5 seed, and they'll be playing on Monday evening at Waverly. So we'll have, of course, Tim will have scores and pairings and everything for us coming up on Spotlight on Sports at 7:30 every morning. So, and it's always a fun week to keep track of the regional tournaments, and I think we've got an interview, don't we?
We got Mr. Neil Alexander joining us on the phone. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Tim Mize, Terry Tote with you here on WSMI FM 106. Thank you very much for a few minutes of your time this morning. And, well, it's going to be an interesting game tonight. It's a homecoming game for you.
Yeah, it is. And I'm excited about going back, but yet I'm kind of scared, too. So,
what scares you, Neil? What scares you?
Well, every game scares me.
Yeah.
You know, you want your kids to always play well and play hard and execute and do the things that you try to teach them. And, you know, we played a kind of a rivalry in our conference last night, so I always get worried about a Saturday night game. Simply because, you know, we haven't had time to prepare, but we're used to that. And I think Steve will tell you the same thing, that basically worry about what we're doing ourselves. So playing back-to-back is not a big thing for us.
And it's weird in this sense because you guys play the same type of style. So I told Coach Kimber, we talked to him this morning, in a lot of ways it'll be like playing himself facing the 1-2-2 ball press.
Well, you know, and again, it's something that we practice every day against. So hopefully... Well, hopefully we score more than 25 points.
I suspect that might happen tonight, Neil. Yeah.
Coach Alexander, as you think back to your time at Nokomis as a player, obviously you and Steve played on the same team. What are kind of some of your memories as you think back to those high school days back in the early 70s?
Well, the thing that goes really far back is the group of guys that I played with, and you know, we were really close, and three or four or five of us were from Fillmore, and that we were really tight. And once we, you know, went to school at Nokomis, and we got with Mike Cesaretti and Jim Talby, Bruce Kettlecamp, and those guys, and it was just a close-knit family about how we played and everything. So I think that's what I am today is from my growing up and the people that we hung with. And, you know, just like John said to us this morning, you know, his mom was my mom. Steve's mom was my mom. And the same for them. My mom was their mom. And we'd done everything together in that little town of Fillmore.
And when you went to somebody else's house, you know, you had to play by their house rules, and it was nothing if they got on you for misbehaving or something, because that was just the norm, because, you know.
Well, and I think that's one of the things, is the values that all of them had, that if you look at all the kids from those families, the values that were brought up were pretty much the same in all the families, and the parenting was so, it was unbelievable. And, I'm just proud to be from where I am and who brought me up. And, you know, my mom and dad, my mom passed a couple weeks ago, and I am what I am for my parents. And, you know, I try to relay that on from what I do in life.
And Fillmore is a small little place, but, man, there's been a lot of basketball talent that's come out of there.
But it's had quite a bit, not only from the boys' side, but we've had some girls come out of there that could play as well.
There's no way that you could have ever envisioned that someday you'd be coaching against your good buddy Steve Kimbrough and that you would both have 800 wins.
No, not at all. But I think it goes back, and you have to credit the guy that got us started in it and the beliefs and what he instilled in us, and that was Coach Wallace. And, you know, it was a change. You know, I remember when we first started playing my senior year when he was in his first year, is that we struggled. We struggled, but, I mean, we just kept getting better and better as the year went on. And I think that's a tribute to him. And it's for me and Steve to basically have grown to do what he preached. I went to school at Monmouth College and played for an outstanding coach there, Terry Glasgow. And he taught me a lot of values. And playing for him for 4 years, I came out of school and my first about 7-8 years, I was a man-to-man coach. And that was before the three-point line came in, where we didn't have to go out and cover the three-point line. We'd let them shoot out there. And, you know, they were only getting 2 points for it, and we were okay. But when the three-point line came in was when I really went to the ball press and spent some time with, you know, fortunately for me, Coach Wallace helped me end up where I'm at. And I was fortunate enough to work with some assistants that worked under him that taught me, continued to teach me what I know today.
And the learning process never really stops, does it, Neil?
It doesn't. And right now I'm learning as much from my assistants that I have. And that's my youngest son and a guy named Eric Ewall, who's been with me for 20 years. These guys are just great and outstanding people, and I think a lot of my success goes to the assistant coaches that I have had. And, you know, as I've grown older, I coach less and they coach more.
What will it be like seeing your old high school coach in attendance tonight?
Well, you know, I saw Steve a couple weeks ago, and not under good circumstances, but I'm excited about it. I know my mom was excited about the game, and unfortunately, she'll be watching from somewhere else. Yeah. But just to see the people, and you know, it's just like I told somebody, I bleed red and black, and I love Nokomis High School. It was good to me. I don't know if I was good for it, but it was good for me.
I think it worked out.
Taught me a lot. And I'm always looking for Steve scores and seeing if he wins and pulling for him. And I've always done that since I've left there. But for once in my life, tonight, I have to go against Nokomis.
That'll be hard for you, I'm sure. And you guys are really like two peas in a pod, to where it's always been about the kids, the process, one game at a time. But this is the rare circumstance where, obviously, you want to win, Steve wants to win. But the game itself, in some ways, is secondary tonight just because of the history and the atmosphere and the people involved.
I agree with that. The history, and again, I think both Steve will say the same thing that I've said, if he hasn't already done so, that the man that traveled from Arizona to see the game has been an unbelievable impact on myself, my family, and the values that I've grown up with.
Neil, it's the best reality show you could have.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah, good luck tonight, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Neil Alexander, head coach of Lincoln, a few minutes of his time here on Sports Saturday as they will do battle tonight.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Doors open at
3:30.
3:30 this afternoon at the gymnasium.
Well, I saw earlier in the week they said that they were going to have a special line for the Lincoln folks.
Okay.
I think they got about 450 tickets set aside for Lincoln, and they're going to have their own line, as I understood.
Well, that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really neat. That's really neat.
And, you know, we've talked about the powerful team that Coach Alexander's bringing in this year, the sixth-ranked team in 3A. Taylorville has two losses. One of them was to Lincoln.
Ooh. There you go. Wow. Okay. Nokomis has got their work cut out for them then tonight.
They're going to have their hands
full. Yeah. But, you know, Steve Kimbrell likes a challenge.
He's never shied away from it.
Never shied away from it. And that's one of the great things about Nokomis basketball, Lincoln basketball, you know, Lady Hilltopper basketball. You know, these coaches that were part of the Nokomis program, hey, you want a ball game? We'll give you a ball game. So.
And it really is, I mean, neat to think about. Lauren Walsh is going to be there tonight, and it's going to be emotional on a lot of different fronts and levels. And Lauren Walls is joining us on the phone right now on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Coach.
Coach, good morning.
Good. Well, I don't know how good the morning is, but it's hello.
Well,
from Arizona to this snow we have here in Carlinville right now, it's not a good morning.
No, yeah, you're right. So it's a little different weather temperature here in mid-Illinois. I imagine you haven't missed that.
Not at all. It's 70-something out there, and I'd be playing golf, but you're scooping snow.
But, Coach, I know that your two former players are very happy that you came back for this.
Well, not any happier than I am to see those two play each other there at Nokomis. You know, my wife, Barbara, just said, you know, if somebody films this, this could be another Hoosiers.
Exactly.
And, you know, it really could.
As you think back to your time in Nokomis, that one season when you had Kimbrough and Alexander on your team, you won a regional. It was a 72-73 season. Talk to us a little bit about Kimbrough and Alexander, the player.
Well, they were a great combination. And Kimbrough was the man on that team. He was about 6'4" and strong as an ox, and he loved to play with his back to the basket and rebound boards in there. And Alexander, he was loaded when he crossed half court line. If he had the ball, it was lost. So we had a great outside inside game with John Flowers and Al Harrison and you know, the combination there. So it was really a learning and fun year.
And what, you know, you came in and you changed things around dramatically, and that sort of thing takes a little time, Lauren, When did things kind of settle in for that ball club?
Well, we were never really in sync the way we wanted to be with our offense and defense for the first half of the season. Then the second half, they started coming around defensively. Offensively, we could come around a little sooner than that. But defensively, they had never played defense. And so it was really a chore getting them to come around with that. But it was we were playing Piesol Southwestern. They were number one. We were number two, one game behind them. And we beat them in that ball game, and we played the best defense we played all year. And I remember Alexander coming up after the game. He says, "Coach, is that what you've been talking about?" And I thought, if I had a bat, I'd hit you in the head with it right now. I woke up, and they played it the rest of the year, and we could beat anybody from there on.
And really, Nokomis has been playing that type of defense since that time, and it has to make you so proud that your defensive legacy has carried on with Coach Kimber at Nokomis and with Coach Alexander as he's moved through his coaching career.
Well, Roger Kraft was my assistant coach, and he took over as the head coach, so he played the defense as well. And then Kimbrell comes in, and thank goodness he's sold on the defense, and he has really, really taught it well. And he does all the little things, and Neil does all the little things with the discipline that it takes to be successful, and that's why they both have over 800 wins. And I don't know that in the future whether there'll be many coaches able to survive 30, 40 years like they are anymore. Society has changed that.
Lauren Walsh joining us here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville. And, Coach, it's so awesome that you're going to be back for this game. And, like you said, to have two coaches, both with 800 wins, playing each other from the same small town on the same high school team, you can't make that up.
No. Like I said, that'd be another Hoosiers, might even top Hoosiers.
You go back to Arizona and try and tell that story, they think you're crazy, man.
Well, thank goodness I brought my son Jeff, who was with us at the time,
and
he's got a lot of stories that he can tell too, because he went to every game with us on the bus. So, you're right. Going back to Arizona, they don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, you have a unique tie to this, obviously, to the two coaches, but to both schools as well. You spent 12 years at Lincoln, 4 years at Nokomis, and I guess if the game could end in a tie tonight, that would be best for you.
Well, you know, like I said, people have asked me, who are you going to root for? And I love being a retired coach, sitting back and watching it and enjoy it. I'll be able to critique it for sure, but I'll talk to them a little bit afterwards as to what I thought of the ball game and how they handled it. But we'll have some fun with that.
Yeah.
And, Coach, the old adage is nobody likes pressure. Nobody, you know, when you're playing basketball, you hate to have that full court press, the ball press in your face the whole game. And just kind of talk about from your perspective when you implemented that defense, and about, I'm sure the goal was to make the opponent uncomfortable.
Well, I'd always tell them, the players, that they cannot duplicate what we're doing in their practices. So we have a definite advantage. We wanted to take them out of their offense and make them play something they weren't comfortable with, and that's basically what we denied the ball in anywhere in that the paint there, the square, or the rectangle, I guess. But anyway, we denied that. If the ball came in there, whoever's fault it was, it came in, was on the bench. We subbed automatically. So that helped sell the defense a little bit. But we took pride in being able to rebound out of that and being able to keep that ball out of there and make them score from areas they weren't comfortable from.
And I love watching Steve Kimbrough coach, because whenever a kid makes a mistake like that, he doesn't have to say anything. He just stares at him, takes him out of the game, and then sometimes won't even look at him on the bench. He's so disgusted.
Well, yeah, he with that beard of his, he could be an imposing person out there.
Well, I tell you what, I think the atmosphere tonight's going to be wonderful, Lauren, and you're going to enjoy it, and the fact of the matter is, this game is being played in front of basketball fans, people who have a steep, deep tradition in expecting good basketball, and I think it's just going to be a wonderful situation tonight.
Well, you know, it is. There's a lot of people interested. You know, Chip Bishop got me that job at Nokomis, and from that point on, and he also helped me get the job at Lincoln. So.
Yeah.
He was very instrumental, and his family's going to be coming over and trying to get into that game tonight as well. Dan, I've been talking with him, and Chick's wife, is going to be there, and so looking forward to a lot of people that we know and have seen, and you know, I'll know faces more than I'll know names, so I hope they all realize that it's been over 30 years.
Yeah.
Lauren Wallace, thank you so much for coming on the Sports Saturday program this morning. It was awesome, and unfortunately it's cold, but it'll be all heated up in that gymnasium tonight.
Well, you know, your sports show there on a Saturday has been around for just so many years, and that's been an important part of this part of the state, so keep it up.
All right. Thank you very much,
Coach Lauren Wallace, and he will be in attendance tonight, and he's going to be, like Terry, I always talk, like when you show up somewhere, you're like a political candidate. You're kissing babies, you're shaking hands. That's what it's going to be like for Lauren Wallace tonight in Nokomis. He is going to see so many people, like he said, he hasn't seen for over 30 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be, that's just another layer to this evening.
Well, that's the homecoming celebration aspect of it, and like, not that the game is not important, because it is, but still, it's the other ceremonial stuff around it that just makes it a very special night.
Very few times is the event bigger than the game.
Right.
This is a situation where the night is bigger than the game. It doesn't matter who wins. Nobody's going to really remember who wins this game 25 years from now, but everybody's going to remember that the game was played.
Sure.
And, you know, however many people are there tonight, three times that many will say they were there.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. I was there.
Sure. But the last thing that the coaches are going to tell their kids, but let's win this game, you know.
Oh, as soon as that ball goes up.
The ceremonies are done. We're done worrying about that part of it. It's time to play basketball.
And Coach Wallace was exactly right. This could be a Hoosiers type of situation.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you know
David versus Goliath.
Absolutely. And there's no question that Nokomis, the kids, would love nothing more than to spring the upset and give Coach Kimbrough the win over his old buddy Neil Alexander. And you know for a fact that the Lincoln kids, they don't want to be on the wrong end of that and have to go to practice the next day after losing to Nokomis.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, Coach Alexander pointed out they played a pretty important rival last night. So they're going to have to come, you know, make the trip to Nokomis, bounce back, put up with the ceremonies and everything like that. And sometimes we talk with football coaches and they talk how difficult it is on homecoming night to make sure the kids are focused. You know, that, I think you're going to have that sort of situation for the basketball teams tonight.
And it's not a surprise. And Nokomis, Steve Kimbrough mentioned, had a tough road game at Metro last night, who's a talented club. It's no surprise that both these teams had tough games last night, but took care of business.
Yes.
There was no overlooking.
No.
Don't worry about tomorrow.
Right.
You better win tonight.
We'll worry about tomorrow.
And that's how you get to 800-plus wins right there.
That's how you do that, yeah. And again, if anybody knows it, in the entire United States of America, if there's been two 800-win coaches, active coaches, to play against each other, who are from the same town, played on the same team, I dare them to call it in.
Well, that certainly hasn't happened.
Same town, same
high school teammates.
Yeah. Should have bought a lottery ticket.
You should have bought a lottery. Little old Fillmore.
Little old Fillmore.
Steve Kimbrough, right. Neil Alexander, Molly McDowell.
Yeah. Oh, just keep going. There's a lot of them. And you know, get there, enjoy the ball game, and if you can't be there, Tim will have the call for us tonight on WSMI FM 106. Plus the ceremonies as well.
Yeah, so the game is supposed to start at 6:30. That's what we've got our broadcast time set for. It could be a little bit before that, because we're going to carry the pregame ceremony, which is going to be fantastic. We'll have that live for you on FM 106. If you're going to the game, you might want to get in line now. Doors open at 3:30.
Dress warmly.
Dress warmly. That's exactly right. Hey, we're out of time here on Sports Saturday. Thank you so much to Steve Kimbrough, Neil Alexander, and Lauren Walsh. That was a nice surprise.
And Brett Teakin as well. Former Nokomis guy.
Doesn't get better than that.
There you go.
Lincoln at Nokomis tonight. Kimbrough versus Alexander. Two 800-win coaches. Old high school teammates will scurry off 6:30 tonight on FM 106. Tito, take us home.
It's kind of like Rocky versus Apollo Creed,
there
right?
We go.
There you go. All right. That's going to do it for Sports Saturday. Have a great sporting weekend. You're listening to WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.